So I'd like to make a start, and I would first of all make the obvious request that everybody turns off their mobile phones, please. Thank you. What we're going to hear this evening is poems written during the last 50 years by Aurevillians, friends of Aureville, some AVI members. And I think you'll be quite surprised at the quality of some of the work that's presented. It really is, I think, quite professional, quite first class, with the addition of people speaking from their heart. I'm not going to do any more, say much more than that, really, except we'll make a start. And I'm going to read the first poem. Oh, I should say that after the meeting, copies of the book will be available. Here they are. That's rupees 300 minimum each. It's a contribution, really, because the book is already paid for, so all the proceeds are going to go to Acres for Aureville. And so if you come up to me, if you've got an Aureville account, you sign this blue thing here, and if you've got Paisa, we put it in this envelope, and hopefully we can buy a few bits of Aureville land. So the first poem is by Navodit, whose former name was Norman Thomas. I don't know if you know this, but there are three great Welsh poets: Dylan Thomas, who everybody knows, a man called R.S. Thomas, who a lot less people know, but he's superb, and Navodit. Navodit in the early days was the representative who went to Mother every week from aspiration and reported on the progress and so on, and then reported back what Mother wanted. He's now quite elderly, and he's in a care home in Aureville. Anyway, this poem is called Early One Morning, and let me just say before I read it, it is quite extraordinary because it doesn't actually tell you what he experienced. It only tells you the effect of what he experienced. It's called Early One Morning. The sun got up, so did I, slow and cozy, half in sleep. Stumbling out, I sat upon the step, receiving nothing from the night, I expected nothing from the day. There was a tree in flower, a scratching dog, the sun was shining on the sea. But then, at 5:30 by the clock, the world turned over, flip, and changed all that. And when it had all settled down, resplendently I saw a tree in flower, a scratching dog, and the sun, oh, shining on the sea. Now, Shwadavan is going to come and read something by Marta Guha, and she'll tell you all about it. Ah, it should be pretty close to the beginning. Yeah, okay.
It's really a pity that Marta's name has been spelt wrong in this book. Her name is Mata Guha. And Guha is a beautiful name. She was married to a Bengali, and this name in Bengali means cave, and it's the deep cave of the heart. That's her name, Mata Guha. I helped her put together her book of poems, and there are a few copies here available. You can take one if you're interested and make a donation towards the land for Oroville. Perhaps it's one of my favorites among all her beautiful poems. It's called The Indian Shawl. How blue and deepening you flow, O dusk, seeping through interstices, filling empty spaces. The rich scent of flowers beginning to bloom at night is still light, the essence of mildness. You blur harsh outlines and blot out ugliness. Oh, merciful, how soft your touch when you meet pain. Now, darkness falls like rain, and the hands of shadow throw over the shoulders of even the poorest a shawl studded with stars.
Beautiful. Thank you. I want you to read another one. Okay. It's Lady Jean. It's the next one.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a poem by Aurevillian Lady Jean, who was a wonderful dancer, to Philippa, who died on 3rd July 1975. My heart goes out in flame and dream to linger by your child-bright soul. You were sunlight on a shimmering stream, the laughter of light on a crystal bowl. You did not dance, but flow and sweep through windy, shining, wildfire days. Touching your truth, I cease to weep, for your golden smile within me says, behind each sorrow soars a silent joy. Each blind despair a secret splendor brings. Why do you mourn that crazy broken toy? I fly to God on singing, strong, fresh wings.
The next poem is by Kevin Myers. He visited Oroville and stayed for a while in the 70s, in the early days when I lived here. And the poem is called In Darkness. When we search, so many locks appear to which the keys seem lost. O mountain with no path, the trails of footsteps lost so far apart, are yet all yearning for thy one translucent peak that soars invisibly above the night. We peer like blind men at the sky, waiting for the dawn, holding the sun prisoner in our hearts.
You want me to go?
My turn.
Yes. It's Maggie Litchie, that tender pulsing.
Maggie Litchie, that tender pulsing. There is a tender pulsing in the heart of life, a hidden meaning that escapes our mind, that hums and glows in great and littlest things, but for which the tongue no words can find. Within us is an ageless spring that sends it forth in myriad ways. Behind it lies a power that emanates a thousand rays, all hidden, mystic from our sight, which makes our hearts take flight. It chimes at root of rock and sea, of earth and sky. It sings in flower, fern, and fire, is working to transmute us all and thus fulfill the world's desire. No brain has wrought it that has sought. No hand takes it apart. No instrument avails, for it is whole or it is not. It winks at you a moment, only to depart. It is both bold and very shy, as indeterminate as the sky. Nothing can bind it, not even life itself, but the thing behind it. And were it not, we would all fall to pieces, the world would rot, for it is this, the secret bliss that upholds the universes.
Do we have Narad here at all? Okay. I will read Narad's poem. Narad, as most of you probably know, is the man who originally came to prepare the nursery and then the Mathramandir gardens, and he is very involved with us here with the Om Choir and other things of that sort. This poem is called Homage to Sri Aurobindo. Perhaps my thought was a deeper seeing when the mind fell still and the inner being seemed to hear his voice from the silent page speak softly of the coming age. My heart attuned, my body heard from the Lord of Life, the mantric word of life transformed, earth by his kiss re-wed to beauty, man to bliss. A sweetness descending from realms above, born earthward, on the wings of love envelops our lives and, immortal, brings the Godhead's touch to mortal things. Slowly the golden light draws near, and the children of the dawn appear. The next poet is Roger Harris. I don't know a lot about Roger because I wasn't here when he was with Auroville. He's here now. Oh. Oh, where art thou? Roger Harris. All right. Yes. Yes. Okay. Right. Yeah. Anyway, this poem is called In the Silence of a Moontide. In the silence of a moontide that streaks the midnight sea, there dwells a deep fulfillment that calls alluringly, with whispers lent unspoken to touch the witness soul, a fullness deep, unbroken, that hints a mystic whole. And the waves, they break in rhythm upon the sandy shore, each one at last effacing the one that went before. And the heart, it knows one answer to all that is no more. In the silence of that moontide, the waves break to a door. Gordon? It's Gordon Corstang.
Although I majored in English literature in grad school, I didn't start writing until I got to Auroville. So these are early poems that I wrote when I was first here. And actually, the four that are in here are from a book published by Writers Workshop Press in Calcutta. I'm going to read probably the strangest one for you. It concerns a woman who was actually, her real name was Andai Ama, and she was probably the first real Aurovillian. She probably knows more. Correct me if I make a mistake, but she had a little shop right beneath the banyan tree. And people used to, there was a road, right, that went through the banyan tree. And she would, sell things to people. Later, when that was under construction, she ended up in Kotakarai, where I was living, and was a member of the community, and the community sort of gave her prosperity. So this is a poem about her and about me, and about the fact that at that time in the late 70s, I was thinking a lot about how about neocolonialism and about the British in India for some reason, but perhaps you know. So it's called Banyan Tree Ama. Banyan Tree Ama at the open door fixes me with a scaly eye, demanding her weekly due. What use are you, old village lady, but to call down a curse? Why do we give you food? What is it anyway, Ama, that brings us together? You, squatting on the doorstep, nailed there, never to rise, and I in my wicker chair, trapped by your baleful eyes. Was it like this in the early days when you lived alone by the banyan tree? You had a power, they said, in strange suns. You were the owl-eyed guardian of the temple of the city of dawn. Then your eldest boy committed suicide. Now you carry those memories with a body bent in pain, groaning outside my door for rupees. I listen to your creaky dirge, staring at your old boniness, wondering at this bizarre siege. But then my own grandmother was worse than you, Amma. She held us so fiercely in her matriarchal debt, harping, wrangling, complaining all day. We silenced her with a TV set. We are the Oroville neocolonials, the latest wistful white folks to sip tea under the tropical sun and think that we are different from the chaps who ruled Rangoon, until you, old Amma, come along. Then from the club veranda, I seem to faintly hear the sly boasts of British ghosts sniggering over their gin and beer about the way to handle the natives when they come a bit too near. When, like a sudden squall, comes the carrier of skulls, comes Kali, the glutton of worlds, calling out of old Amma for some kind of fit response before her terrible, sacred face. I stare stupidly at the fiery eyes, for I do not know the words to speak to that fatal presence smoldering under her wrinkled skin. I close my book, lose the place, and rise up to fetch her rice.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Vivek, do we have Vivek here? No. Vivek? Vivek the poet. All right. Well, I'll read this poem for Vivek. In the City of Lost. City of Lost, streets of bodies, rain of acids, wind of hopes. Look at me. Give me a glance. I'm a child of narrow, filthy lane. Don't see my torn cloths, cracked skin, and barefoot. Don't measure with class. I'm just soul. Your small touch can shape me, ignore and destroy me. I'm future of lost. Stop and give me a glance, chasers of light. Look at me. I'm old lady, whom you see daily in corner of street selling tea. This wrinkle not sign of age, condition, not poverty. It's blindness and greed. I used to be past hoping good fortune, good future. Your touch still can shape me, ignore and destroy me, O chasers of light. Every small drop of rain brought dancing inside me, I followed a breeze and became like her, now plastic around me. I'm dying daily. Look at me. Your touch still can shape me, ignore and destroy me, O chasers of light. Give me a glance in the streets of bodies, in the city of lost, O chasers of light. Bindu?
I have a confession to make. My journey was exactly the opposite of Gordon's. I published two books of poetry before I came to Oroville, And I didn't write a single decent line after that. And that was 25 years ago. So I'm not sure whether I've earned my place to be in this anthology of Orwell poets. But this poem that Vikas has kindly chosen is actually about the land. And since the proceeds of the book go for a land donation, maybe it's apt. And think only of this. Someday, someday, I'll take my eldest son before he's begun to lisp worn-out nursery rhymes or think his way through numbers. I'll take him by his pudgy little hand and together we'll walk back to the farthest corner of the vegetable garden patch. And there as we kneel among rows of rooted potatoes, I will scoop out and pour a moist handful of soil into his tiny cupped palms, rejoicing in the clutched dampness of freshly broken earth and the truth of things that cannot be told.
Sonia?
The poem I'm going to read is by Dick Batstone, and rather appropriately, he was one of the founder members of Orwell International UK. He was a great lover of books himself, and his business was in buying and selling books. His business didn't exactly flourish as much as he'd hoped, because having bought these books, he could not bear to part with them. And thus, very many of his wonderful books have ended up as a gift to the Orwell Library. This poem is called The Meeting Place. This is what time has led to, a courtyard of sunflowers, zinnias, and a queue of silent people moving past a petal-covered tomb. Dawns, noons, sunsets, days, months, lives. This is what time has led to, a path that goes to a staircase and men and women of different countries leaving their sandals at its foot. Dawns, noons, sunsets, days, months, lives. This is what time has led to. A gallery behind mahogany shutters, a picture of a man's head, life size. They pass it and mark its gaze. Dawns, noons, sunsets, days, months. Lives. This is what time has led to. A chair set before a gold patterned cloth and a still, frail woman who smiles and has the eyes of God. Dawns, noons, sunsets, days, months, lives. This is what time has led to.
It's more. Sonia.
There's more. Next
page.
Sorry, I didn't turn the page. See each figure before her. Is not what he thought, felt, or looked like, but an inner immortal come through. Dawns, noons, sunsets. Days, months, lives.
Beautiful, well done. Jürgen?
Yeah?
I want you to read John O'Neill's poem, please.
We had the inauguration the other day of the European House, and our the Irish delegation, we did a little thing, and we asked the audience, do you know a country which produced 4 literature Nobel Prize winners? Silence. So, Ireland did that. And then I asked, does anybody know the names of them? Silence. Beckett came then. The first one was Yeats. He was living at the same time as Sri Aurobindo. And was the founder of a spiritual society which was called the Golden Dawn. The next one was Shaw. A lot of people think he's English. No. When he heard about it, he said, I forgive Nobel to invent dynamite, but I'm not taking his money. So he didn't take the money. The next one was Beckett. His wife said, this is a disaster. He didn't even go there. He sent his publisher and refused as well to take the money. And the last one was Heaney, 1998. So that was number 4. And this is from John. He's part of our Savitri reading group in Dublin. He has been in Auroville around 40 years ago with his wife and his son for a short while, but left and never came back. And he recited that poem when we had our meeting in a European AVI meeting in Auroville in the bus.
In Cork?
Yeah, we had the meeting in Cork, that's where I'm from, yeah. Okay. John O'Neill, AVI Ireland. Will you take this little bit I have? Will you take this little bit I have? It's not much, but it's mine. What is more precious than what we are? The gift of ourselves is better by far than rings and things that money can buy. I sigh when I see the agony of those who reach for a star. Give what you are, what you are. What you are is better by far than rings and things that money can buy. Will you take this little bit I have? It's not much, but it's mine. It's yours.